Our reading this morning is from the Epistle to the Colossians, chapter 3, verses 1 to 10. And I'm reading from the New Living Translation because I think it's more real. It's entitled, Living the New Life. Since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven where Christ sits at God's right hand in the place of honour and power. Let heaven fill your thoughts. Do not think only about things down here on earth. For you died when Christ died, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your real life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all his glory. So put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within you. Have nothing to do with sexual sin, impurity, lust, and shameful desires. Don't be greedy for the good things of this life, for that is idolatry. God's terrible anger will come upon those who do such things. You used to do them when your life was still part of this world, but now is the time to get rid of anger, rage, malicious behaviour, slander and dirty language. Don't lie to each other, for you stripped off your old evil nature and all its wicked deeds. In its place, you have clothed yourselves with a brand new nature that is continually being renewed as you learn more and more about Christ, who created this new nature within you.
Thanks, Prue. Sam, I want to introduce Sam to come and speak to us. And we've spent a whole lot of time in this passage over the last period of time. But Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for Sam. Thank you for his love for your word. Thank you for his heart to see people transformed by your love. I just ask you would anoint him. Would you give him words from your heartbeat that we may be transformed? In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen. Thank you. Good morning. Great to see you all. Let me set myself up. As you all know, my name is Sam, and welcome to All Saints Church this morning. We are not far away from Easter. It's only 21 days to go, and just a hint, 290 days till Christmas. So, shush. This is the exact reaction I received when I told my team this morning, last week, and they said, let's move on. Who's next? And they didn't want to know how many days till Christmas. Great to see you all this morning. We are going to talk up from the book of Colossians chapter 3, as Prue has read this morning, verse 1 to 10, or maybe 1 to 12. Always think about Prue's voice as like a godly, heavenly voice. And thank you, Prue, for praying for me for all week. If you haven't been to All Saints for the last few weeks, we have been going through a series or a topic that leading towards Easter, that something that we need to move on from or put off and put on some things. In the last few weeks, Bishop Justin, who came a few weeks ago, he talked about clothing ourselves with compassion, which means agreeing with the people, being compassionate with the people who we agree with, and being compassionate and loving towards the people who we disagree with. There's a polar opposite sometimes, and we have tensions. And so he talked about clothing ourselves with compassion. Davis, a few weeks ago, talked about dying to ourselves and how do we take up the cross. Last week, Julia Budd talked about clothing ourselves with humility in 1 Peter chapter 5. And today, I'm going to share a few thoughts about what are the things that God wants us to put off. That means our old nature. And what are the things that we need to put on? Because when we accept Jesus Christ in our life, we don't really stay the same. And next week, my good friend Steve Wallace is going to share about a new creation. So please pray for him and cheer him up as he comes next week and shares. This passage that we read from Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 to 12, I'm going to work my way backwards rather than going from verse 1 till 12. I'm going to start from verse 12 and then make my way towards verse 1 and 2. It's always important to know why is this written in the Bible. Context is always important. And a lot of the times when people put up a short stories about the preacher, he's a false teacher because they've taken everything out of context. And you'll see in YouTube, there's a lot of that because they don't know what the context is or they haven't put the whole picture. So Apostle Paul, who has written a lot of New Testament books, he's really steering this young Christian church back to the apostles' message of the good news about Jesus Christ. And it's very important to know is that Colossae, which was the city where the church is based, has a lot of influential teachings at the time. And so Paul writes this letter to the Colossians church because of a lot of false teachings that have infiltrated. A lot of teachings that are completely opposite to what the apostles' teaching were. So there are a few things that he really stresses on. He makes a point to the people is that Paul insists that the Christ is supreme over all beings in creation, whether it's both physical or whether it's spiritual. That Jesus is the only one in whom the very fullness of God lives. That Jesus is the ultimate source of the spiritual growth that each and every one of us need. He is the center from whom all true spiritual experience must radiate from. So he's really pressing on, pushing these points to the church is that, guys, you don't have to forget this. This is what I've taught you. And if you read the previous chapters, chapter 2 of Colossians, he gives on the understanding, the teaching is that the good news, that is, we call this the gospel of Jesus Christ, and the freeness of God's love is absolutely free. Is that God's love is absolutely free. It's available not just for the good people, not just for the people who are worse, not for the people who are rich, but God's love is absolutely free and it's available to everyone. And he also makes this point is that if you and me, we try to earn, we try to deserve the favor of God, we move from becoming a Christian or people who believe to becoming a religious person. I think we all need to understand that the moment you try to earn God's grace, the moment you try to earn, make yourself good, you disqualify yourself and you make yourself a religious person, or you can call yourself a moralistic person. And Dr. Tim Keller, he's a scholar, he's an author, and he tries to put it this way. He says is that this is what a big part of what's wrong with the whole world. Because no one wants, this is free, which means it's not going to impact me. I mean, there's a saying that goes around the world is that nothing comes free. But can I tell you, God's love is free. It's available for each and every one of us. You know, a moral person, when they live their life, they live with good morals. They want to live a good life. We've got friends around our circles. Look, I'm not a bad person. I live a good life. But they do it out of fear. They do it out of pride. They do it out of the need for control. I've been exposed recently to a lot of leadership styles or leadership people who are high authority in the leadership. And sometimes I feel he's such a nice person. But man, he just wants to control. There's a lot of people around that in the world. They call themselves as moral. They live moralistic lives. They're all good people. But what does God say about us? In verse 12, I love the word. He says, you are God's chosen people. Let those words infiltrate your mind that my friends, my brothers, my sisters, that you are God's chosen people. What does it really mean, chosen? It means, do I have a choice? Chosen really means is that God came after you. He was looking out for you. He watched what we are doing and he just chose you. He came right seeking after you. And that's what we call is God's love. It's free for everyone. So in fact, the whole passage that we're reading today, it talks about that God's love is free, and free love of God changes our lives. That's what we need to know. His love is free, but this thing that God gives us, this free love, it changes your life, it changes my life. If I'm a Christian, then my life changes. The goodness of Jesus Christ changes my life, not because it's free, because of it. So from this text that we read today, how does it bring the change? I think it's good to know, okay, all right, it changes me, but how does it bring a radical change? If you read verse 9 and 10, let's read it. It says, do not lie to each other. It's very clear, don't lie. Since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge, in the image of its creator. What Paul really is saying here is that if, again, there is a condition, if you put off certain beliefs, and that beliefs, you put off certain behaviors. And if you put off certain behaviors, you also put off certain practices. So your beliefs, your behaviors, your actions. And he says, put on some different things. So which means when I or you, we make a shift in the way we believe, then it changes the way we view our lives. Before becoming a Christian, I thought I was the most, I'm not saying about me, I'm just saying this is how people think, that I'm the most moral person, I'm good, I'm a great person. Everybody else is bad. You are wrong, I'm right. But the moment we become a Christian, we realize is that everybody is made in the image of God. Imago Dei. Is that you, your friends, the one who you dislike, your neighbor who's always cranky, they're made in the image of God. And that changes our perspective and that changes the way we view our lives. So the moment we make a shift in the way we believe and it changes the way we view things, which means the actions will follow. It means the way we live our lives, the way we do things. So what Bible really talks about is that you actually become a brand new person. What rubbish teaching is this? You become a brand new person? Is that what a Christian is called? Oh, yes. That's what the Bible tells. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7, it says, as a man thinks, so is he. The way we think our lives affects the way we live our lives. You know, in John chapter 11, verse 25 and 26, there is a conversation between Jesus and Martha. Lazarus has died, and Jesus has come late to the party. And this is what Jesus says, is that I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live. The one who believes in me will live and will never die. And then he ends this verse with this question mark and said, do you believe this? He's telling this to Martha. Do you believe that I am the resurrection? Do you believe that Jesus died on the cross? We're going to celebrate Easter soon. Do you believe that Jesus died and then he rose again? And that will change your perspective. Do you believe that? So what Paul is saying, he's deliberately saying, is that there is the change that the gospel brings. It is so radical that you become really another person. You become a brand new person. And can I tell you that everybody that's a Christian, you've been converted. Here comes the word conversion. We have a lot of friends in our circuit who tell them, got you. You said, yep, the moment you become a Christian, you all Christians are all about converting people. You know, I come from India and they all talk about conversion. I said, nah, I don't want the Christian message because all you're about is converting people from Hindu to Christianity. I've got an answer for you, friends. Can I propose to you is that, my friend, that you are going to be converted one day by someone or by something. Which means, do not lie to me. We are all in the same boat. I'm converted by Jesus Christ, but you will be converted one day by somebody or by someone or by some things. There is a story that I thought it will be appropriate to use. I'm not sure a lot of people have heard about this story about a man who went to the zoo. He was really looking for a job. He was desperate. But this is what is talked about him, is that he had a massive stature. He was a bodybuilding by training, almost like Davis, who's not here, but also maybe Isaac, some big bulging muscles. And he saw this ad in the newspaper. He said, wanted a man to work at the zoo. So one day, so he said, okay, let me go and talk. Look, I need some money. I need to go and talk. But to his shock, the only job that was available for him was a job of a gorilla. So what's happened is that the school holidays are coming soon, within the next couple of weeks, and the gorilla had passed away. And so the zookeeper wanted someone who can wear this gorilla suit, which was looked absolutely exactly like a gorilla. And then his job was to go inside the cage before it's sunrise. And then his job was to move left and right and then just entertain the people. That's all he needs to do. Because money was really tight, he decided, okay, cool, I will take this job and then I will move on to another one. So he dressed up himself in this gorilla suit and he went before sunrise, before everybody walked in, all the kids came in, he sneaked inside the cage and then he sat right at the back and he started walking. As people started coming, as the kids started coming, there was a lot of hype because kids wanted to see this gorilla. So he started pacing left and right. And all of a sudden, the kids got happy. So he started jumping a little bit of left and right, jumping up to this branch, move here. And the kids started feeding him peanuts. They started feeding him bananas. Now, for 8 hours, you can eat peanuts and bananas, but the bananas got better off him after a long day. So what he did, okay, he said, well, look, instead of just being on the ground, I'm going to start swinging from left to right. So he started swinging left to right, and all of a sudden, the branch snapped. And he fell right into the cage next door. And imagine the cage, whose cage it was. It was the cage of the lion. He freaked out. He was scared. Imagine somebody jumping into a lion's den right next door. And he shouted, help, help, I'm not a gorilla. I'm a real man. And the lion pounced on him, hold his neck. And the lion said, shut up, you idiot. If you're going to not shut up, we're both going to lose our jobs. G.K. Chesterton, who is a theologian and a philosopher, he wrote this. There is an editor who came to him and said, please write an article about what's wrong with the world. G.K. Chesterton, he's very famous and he's well known. And the editor had to think 3 times his response by him. And he said, dear sir, in regards to your article, what's wrong with the world, I am truly yours, G.K. Chesterton. He had to read the 3 times. You know, Jesus describes your heart and my heart very perfectly. He says the heart is sinful and is desperately wicked above all things. Can I tell you this? On the day when you realize that your heart and my heart is so desperately wicked that I need a savior, that will be the day when you could become an answer, not just another question. So in this passage, we look at 2 things, and I'm going to be very quick with that. The 2 things that will radically change according to the gospel, the first thing is by putting to death some things that the Bible talks about. What I really call it as digging down deep. And the second thing that will change our life according to the gospel is looking up. So what are some of the things that Paul talks about? He talks really about, there are a few things he talks about that I want to list here in verse 5 to 8. He says, Paul says, if we follow Jesus, please keep yourself away from these things. Abstain themselves. Some of the things he says is, first thing is sexual immorality, which means that's where the word pornea comes from. Impurity, lust, evil desires, greed, anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language, which means dirty talk. You hear that in every sentence around people who live around us. And so Ashton, who is here, he's helping me out, and I wanted to portray. So these are some of the things each and every one of us carry. Now as I used an illustration to tell you that please do not lie, let's be honest with ourselves. These are some of the things that we need to dig deep down. Evil desires, filthy language, rage, greed, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, anger, malice, slander. Now the answer for these 2 things is found in these 2 important words. Thank you, Aston. The 2 important words are evil desires and idolatry. I'm just going to go quickly through these things because it's really important for us to understand what does an evil desire mean. Now, the Greek translation for the word is called epithumia. That's what I've written in there. It really means desiring. It really means an epidesire, an over-desire, or an excessive desire of something. Now, if I asked you, that what is the first thing that comes to my mind when I say the word evil desire? What comes to your mind? And you might say the first thing is desires that are evil. No, actually, you're wrong. What about, if you look at the previous verse in Colossians chapter 2, you look at the Pharisees. They never did those things. they kept themselves away from that forbidden list, but they still were lost. They are what's part of wrong in this world. They're still part of what's wrong in this world. They're still lost. And actually, they are the ones who killed Jesus. So what does it really mean? The real meaning of epithumia, the evil desire, means it's not about an ordinary desire for something that's bad. It's an excessive desire of something that's good. Think about that. Desiring something excessively is actually a good thing. That's what is called epithumia. Right away, it leads us to this word called addiction. That's where it comes from. And then we move to the second point of that, is that evil desires, the two important words I said is evil desires and idolatry. In the book of Colossians, idolatry, it talks about just one thing, greed. Idolatry, greed, having idolatry of money. But there is a parallel passage in Ephesians chapter 5. It talks about, in fact, idolatry is attached to everything, not just money. It's attached to everything. So we find this answer in the Bible is that what Paul is really saying is that, my friends, all your bitterness, all your anger that you're struggling with, all that rage that you have within you, all that filthy language, that impurity that all of us carry, and all your problems, the answer is because idols that we have within us. And what does idolatry really mean? Is that taking something good and just making it the ultimate thing. So idolatry, from the definition, what the Bible talks about is taking something good and making it the ultimate thing. Exodus chapter 20, can I tell you what God says? Is that I am the Lord your God. You shall have no other gods before me. God is very particular, is that I don't want any idols within you. I don't want any idols. I want to be your God, just me. So there's only two options that we have, is that either we worship the uncreated true living God, or the other option is we worship some other created thing as a false God. I hope you're with me. There's only two options we have. Either we worship the true, uncreated true living God, or we worship something that is created but as a false God. And how do we know that what are these idols that lie within all of us? There are two steps that I can tell you, is that the moment you take that out of your life, you lose it. You lose the plot. You get so angry about it, you get so bitter about it because you have made that thing as your life. And that is an idol within all of us. And the second thing what you could do is maybe follow that desire to look to the source of where it has come from. So those are some of the things that we know, that this is some of the idols that we carry. And can I tell you, until we dig deeper, we will never find what's wrong with us. We will never find, we cannot change, and we will never understand who God has made us to be. So it's really important for us to dig deeper. And the second point is looking up. So now we've dig deeper. I've got all these idols within me. Now what do I need to do? Is to look up. And that's what verses 1 and 2 talks about. It says, the moment we realize what's in my heart, what's driving me, what's controlling me, what do? We have to believe truth. And that's what the verses 1 and 2 talked about, is that you have to believe and have your heart hold on to those things above. We don't look down, but we look up. So we look at things that are heavenly. And the idols of each and every one of us that we carry within us, they can never be removed. You know, when I used to think in my teenage years, I wish I had a delete button. I wish I can just press a button and say all these things will be deleted. But no, it will never be removed. But can I tell you, it can be replaced. These idols can be replaced, and can be replaced with God's truth. It says, the moment we set our minds on His truth, we bring that truth into your heart, and that is what I call about a radical change, a change that comes in our character. I hope you're following me in this. So I come to the last part of what I'm sharing today, is that what are these truths that we're all supposed to know that's going to make this big change in our lives, and it has done for many of us as we follow Jesus. The moment I say is that I believe in Lord Jesus, I become a Christian, now I live in a certain way, that's not the only thing. The moment we become a, what makes me, you and me as a follower of Jesus Christ is that now I am in Christ. That word in is the most important thing in this text. That I follow Jesus Christ is not because he has changed me, that my ways have changed, it's because I am in him. Let these words sink in your heart that I am in Christ. When I'm a Christian, I am in Christ. What does that mean? Is that God sees me as him, as his only son. He looks at me as if I have died on the cross. He looks at me as if I have been raised with him in a sense. How powerful is that? The moment that Jesus talks about is that when he says that you have died with Christ, it means God now, he sees me free from everything. He sees me free from anything I've done wrong. There is no condemnation. There is no punishment that needs to be paid for. It's already been paid. That's the power of believing, of becoming a Christian, is now we are hidden in Christ. So the last point I want to say is that to be raised with Christ, what does it really mean? Is that if you give yourself to Christ, it means God delights in you. The same way he delights in his one and only son, Jesus Christ. I'll say that one more time as I finish. Is that God delights in you in the same way that he delights in his own son, Jesus Christ. And that, what we call, is the good news. We call it the gospel message. And I want to illustrate it before I finish. Aston, if you can come forward. I talked about is that when you follow Jesus Christ, you become a brand new person. Is it right? That you change. This is what happens. When you follow Christ, Aston has got all these things, like all of us carry all these things, these idols within us. And as I said, there is no delete button for this. But yes, they could be replaced. They could be changed. And they can't be removed, but they could be replaced. And all of a sudden, you become a brand new person. Hang on, Laura is blushing. Let me do one more thing. You not only become a brand new person, you become the son of the Most High King. And that is what I call when we become a Christian, you become a brand new person. Not just that, but you become a man and the son of the Most High Living God. It's getting hot, eh? Yeah, I know. So, thanks, Aston. So as I finish this, let's pause for a moment as the worship team comes around. And I just want to let them to play maybe a few instrumental, some music for the next few minutes. Let's think about the idols that each and every one of us carry. Let's not lie. The anger, the rage, the filthy language sometimes erupts. I don't know where it comes from. It's good to identify that. And can we bring it to God and say, God, I need your help. I need to replace these things with your truth. But also, I don't know everybody in here. I want to put a call out there for people who have never given their life to Christ. And as you see, Ashton, you know, as a brand new person, he changes you from inside out. You don't stay the same. And the good news is his love is still available for you today as I finish speaking. If you are the person, I would love to talk to you later on. Maybe if you're comfortable, if you can close your eyes for a sec, just wave at me and I'll come and talk to you, or we'll pray with you. We have a team that will come and pray with you.